morning.
Good morning.
Good afternoon. How are you?
I'm good. I was only 4 minutes late today.
You hustled. Thank you. somebody was mad about my tank top and asking me that, you know, I shouldn't show off my hairy armpits. And that, I'm comfortable.
Like in the comments, you mean?
Yeah, I like being comfortable.
They didn't want to see your hairy armpits.
Yeah, my taco
meat. I'm surprised you didn't just like lift your arm.
It's not like I tried to. And my armpits aren't that hairy. But somebody was like, I wish you wouldn't wear, a tank top. And you always wear your wife beaters. Well, first of all, they're not wife beaters. They're very nice tank tops from a department store.
Now might be the time to tell you that when I was doing laundry this weekend, there was one that had like bleach stains and a tear around the pocket.
You did not throw it away.
I threw it away.
I know which one it is too. Was it black?
Uh-huh.
I was looking for it today. That's my favorite. That's my favorite tank top.
Is it really?
You threw it away?
Baby, it was just an old Navy tank top. I bought you three new tank tops and you haven't even worn them yet. Oh, did I just put you in a bad mood?
Yes, you broke my heart.
I broke your heart over a torn and tattered tank top.
Yes, it was my favorite. Rick, does Gigi do that where she just throws your shit away?
No, unfortunately not. I have thousands of shirts.
He said, unfortunately not. So see, he just wants Gigi to throw them away for him. Make it easy.
Would you be okay with me just throwing some of your clothes away? No. You would want to see it.
I might.
You would want me to show you.
If you had good judgment.
And your clothes comes with holes. So
no, it doesn't.
Some of them, like the jeans and the whole thing.
Well, this is called a cutout. This is not a hole. It's a cutout.
Well, you look very nice.
Thank you.
You look very pretty.
Thank you.
Is that a rental?
It is a rental, but I think I'm going to keep it.
I always hate when we end up a week behind.
I know, because then we don't know, like, what did we talk about? And then life moves so quickly, it kind of feels weird to go and talk about it. I mean, I know you complained last week about the walk-up music and the baseball.
Oh, yeah. Somebody was like, why you got to call her a bitch? I'm like, I don't know her. I don't know her. I don't know this person.
Yeah, they're like, that's very strong language for a woman who just hits play on a boombox.
No, that started the baseball BS. Anyway. I did see that comment. And it sucks because a lot of things do happen, right? Like, and I got to bring it to you. A woman 2 weeks ago literally pulled her ring off her finger to give to you. And
what?
I have it. Timmy has it. And he reminded me today. He goes, hey, I have that ring. And I was like, oh my God, yes.
Uh-huh.
Right. So, you know, little things like that. I always want to shout them out and thank them on the podcast. But because we skipped a week, you forget, you know. And then another.
And we're not in our home anymore. So it's like we're here at the studio.
So then another woman hit us up and she was like, hey, you know, because I did tell her I would.
Uh-huh.
What was the name of her book?
Yeah.
Will you get the info on that?
Yes.
So, you know, she was so nice. And Claudia Varial.
Uh-huh.
And she was such a sweetheart. And when I was doing the meet and greet at the liquor store with Rebecca Creek, she showed up.
Yeah.
And I chatted with her and beautiful little book that she had written. And I always say, and we've talked about it on this, you know, we highlighted a different one from a woman that we met in Oxnard that had done that.
Yes.
You know, and I always want to give them shout outs and let people know about what they're doing because – actually, you know, people say all the time, well, I have this idea for a book. Well, write it.
Yeah.
Do it.
You know?
It's called The Bully.
The Bully. The Bully That Learned to Love.
Yeah.
So it's a good book for you. It's a good book. It's a good book for you to read because you are the bully that needs to learn to love.
Yeah. Yeah. I can tell, especially from this picture. I'm definitely the bully that needs to learn to love.
I'm actually choking you. People don't know. That I'm right there, I'm choking you, and then you're laughing because I won't do it. You're like, you won't do it, pussy. Oh, there's your water. Thank you, Miss Lori.
Oh, thank you, Lori.
What is it, coffee or is it water?
No, it's water.
Oh.
It's water. She just put a lid on it for
just
me.
Put so in a fancy cup.
A little for myself.
In one of them fancy cups. But anyway, I just hate when I miss a couple of weeks because I'm like, God, a lot has happened.
Yeah.
In 2 weeks for us.
Did we talk about taking the kids to Solvang in San Diego?
I don't think so. I think that's the week we skipped. So San Luis Obispo, Bakersfield.
Yeah.
And San Diego.
Yeah.
Yes. Okay, good. So you just reminded me. San Luis Obispo, first of all, what a gem.
Yes. What right?
The weather, not great.
Yeah. We did not have the beautiful, sunshiny California weather. But it's always like that.
So once you get into San Luis Obispo and up, it's you know, muggy in the mornings, clears up for a few hours, and then it gets muggy again.
Yeah.
But what a gem of a little town.
Their whole little downtown, and they're close to the beach. Like, it definitely has a, if you've ever visited Santa Barbara, it definitely has like a California Santa Barbara coast feel. But their little downtown is so cute.
Such a cool little town and really special place. And the theater was kind of like this old school theater, but it was just like one room. And the stage was like a prop-up stage.
Uh-huh.
It wasn't a permanent, but I mean, I love performing there and being there. And Garrett and Delilah were backstage. So I had Garrett go over there and bring Johnny Sanchez up.
Yes, and it was so cute. He was practicing in the green room before he went on, like what he wanted to say and how he was going to introduce Johnny. And he even put on like his big theater voice. Yeah. It was super cute. And he got a little nervous. It was neat to see him get a little nervous.
So then he went up there. Then Delilah's like right behind him. And she's like, give me the mic. You know, she's like, oh, sorry about the armpit hair. She's like, give me the mic. And then Delilah was like, hello, everybody. You know, and it was just awesome. And then after that, it was like, oh, so before that, so we had to fly into LAX. We woke up in Solvang.
Yeah.
To do Solvang. That town. Did you do Solvang, Lori, when you guys did the California coast?
No. We've never heard
that area, the Santa Ynez Valley, when we lived in California, that was my favorite.
It is insane. It is so much like a movie set. Garrett didn't understand how people live there.
Oh, yeah. He was like, well, because he said it kind of looks like you're on the set of Harry Potter. It's like a little Dutch town.
All
but
the buildings
like,
are built
like. This kind of reminds me of Harry Potter.
Like a Dutch town. The town is built like a Dutch town.
Yeah.
Super cool.
With the windmills, and it's really cute.
And the wooden shoes and the whole thing. So we stopped there, and I did it because that was our activity.
Uh-huh.
I could care less. I mean, I think it's cool. I'll sit there on a bench while you do your thing.
Yeah.
Because it's like green. It's candy store.
Lots of bakeries.
Bullshit store.
Lots of tchotchke shops.
Bullshit store.
Lots of ice cream shops.
If you like bullshit, I have similar bullshit, but different to that similar bullshit, but different. Our bullshit is the same expensive. As their bullshit, but we have a couple things different than their bullshit. So stop and Solvang, made it over to San Luis Obispo. Wonderful show. Then it was off to Bakersfield, which is exciting because we have some very good friends.
Yes, longtime friends.
Yeah.
Like
so,
before we were married friends.
Yeah. We got invited. It was a small gig. It wasn't crazy to do a corporate gig where all the radio station listeners would buy this cruise and go out on this cruise. And then on Sunday, I was hired to be their entertainment.
It was a radio station booze cruise.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I got invited to be the entertainment. They paid me and they gave me and Renee a free cruise. And back then we were like, woohoo! The
first time we'd ever gone on vacation together. Like, it was fancy awesome. For us.
And we invited our friend Mark and Laura and they joined us. And the cool part was nobody knew, this is a long time ago, nobody knew that I was the comedian. Right?
Yeah, because they never heard of you. The people who had paid for tickets on the booze cruise could have cared less who Steve Trevino was.
I mean, they talked about it on the radio, but
yeah.
And they kind of knew I was the comedian, but they weren't like, oh shit, there's Steve Trevino. It was like, oh, that guy's gonna do comedy.
Yeah.
You know,
he might be kind of funny.
So we're on the cruise and you know, Mark and Laura, good friends of ours, still good friends of ours, and we were like, what are we doing? And then we're like, well, let's go have drinks at this, you know, Renee and I love a good piano bar. We're like, let's go have drinks at this piano bar. So there we went. And this couple was there, introduced themselves, and they were our couple along with Mark and Laura.
Uh-huh.
And we just had a blast that entire weekend. found out they live in Shafter, California, which is a suburb of Bakersfield. And we would just meet up and they'd come visit us when we were on the road. And they'd come to Vegas when I would do Vegas. And we became very good friends with them.
Oh, they were my saving grace when we had Garrett, because you would go on the road every weekend when he was little and they had two older daughters. So I would just drive to Bakersfield with Garrett and stay at their house, and they would help me with him, and the little girls would hold Garrett so I could get a break and shower. Like they were good buds.
So, and we, you know, just because of life and us living back in Texas, and you know, they've got an 8-year-old or 7-year-old, a son, exactly one year. Almost to the day, younger than Garrett. So they got busy, we got busy, and just hadn't seen him in a while. So our plan was like, man, let's get to Jen and Jeremy's house, hang out with them. And they're just, you know, they're a lot like, they're very similar to us.
Yeah.
You know, she's a pain in the ass, and he works hard to keep her. But, you know, we've gotten to know Jennifer's
parents.
You're
men who love high-maintenance women. That's what it is.
Well, that's what I was doing a radio interview this morning, and they go, well, it sounds like your wife keeps you busy. And I said, well, that is what happens.
Is that how they phrased it? Yeah. Your wife keeps you busy?
I go, that is what happens when a below-average man marries a above-average woman, you know. But we just love them. We got to know their parents.
One of my girlfriends told me, because you always use that phrase. And one of my girlfriends goes, just so you know, you are more than above average.
Wow. I thought they were going to say something about me. Like, just so you know, Steve shouldn't say that. You know, Steve shouldn't say that he's below average. You know, poor Steve. He shouldn't say that about himself.
That's not what they
said. Instead, they're like, listen, Renee, he insulted you again. Above average is not enough. It is not enough for you. But we've got to know their parents. They have a beautiful home. We stay at their house. And people freak out when I do Bakersfield because I'm like, hey, shout out to Shafter. And people are like, I heard he stays in Shafter. Because Shafter, and Lori will understand this, is smaller than Gregory.
Oh, wow.
They don't even have a hotel. There is no hotel in Shafter.
Yeah.
Like, it is tiny.
They don't even have, like, a legit grocery store. They have, like, a mom-and-pop market.
Yeah, like the Apple markets or the Lowe's. You know what I'm talking about? I guess we'll put a store here. Store. Yeah. You know. But we love to visit there and hang out with them. The only thing I hate, fuck, man, they have cats. I will say that, for me...
It didn't seem to bother you as much this time.
That's what I was going to say. Kittens...
Yeah.
Young cats are what get me. And the cats are almost dead. So I can't wait. Can't wait. And I told Michael, please tell me you're not getting another cat. Please. Because one of the times that I was there, I couldn't go in the house.
You couldn't even be in the house.
And there was no hotel to stay in. I mean, they're very sweet. Like, if they know I'm coming, they'll vacuum up JJ's room. They'll
close the doors and try and contain
the cat. They'll wash the sheets. They won't let the cat in there so I can sleep, you know, because, you know, Jen and Jeremy are just very sweet people. But, I mean, there was we say there are 2 days, and I couldn't even hang out inside.
Oh, on a different visit, yeah.
Yep, I couldn't even hang out inside. But love visiting them, and their girls are so beautiful, and they're going to college.
It's crazy.
I felt so bad because, you know, they're like, well, you know, we're not going to drink because – we have the official UCLA visit.
Like, well, it was not welcome weekend, but like some sort of, and not orientation. I don't know, but something kind of like that for UCLA.
So they had to be there at 8 a.m. They live an hour and a half, almost 2 hours away from there. So they were leaving at 5 a.m. after my show. And they're like, yeah, we're not going to drink. And then all of a sudden they start drinking.
And then the after party ends up at their house.
Yeah. And it's so funny because we are so much alike. Because Jeremy was like, fuck it, we're going to my house. And then Jennifer's like, did he just invite random people to our house?
Well, no, they weren't random people. They were friends of theirs. They were people they knew. But then Jeremy, like a magician, just disappears and leaves Jen to entertain everyone. And she's like, what the hell? Like, I didn't even invite people. I got to be up in the morning.
No, and then Jeremy bells and leaves her out there with me. Renee bells, Jeremy bells. And Jennifer's like, well, I guess his after party is me taking care of his friends. And we were dying.
But that's okay. Then it gave her a good excuse to sleep in the car while he drove, because it's like, you deserve it.
Oh,
you
and then what, they sent us pictures of them at orientation, like past that. Yeah. But then it was off to San Diego.
Yes. You know what? I was just bummed. I love San Diego so much. And that drive from Bakersfield to San Diego took us a little longer because of traffic. So by the time we got there, we were just like wiped out. And I love it so much. Like, I wish we had, there's so many kid friendly things to do, but we just didn't have the energy. The kids were pooped. But Tanya was so sweet.
I was going to give Tanya a shout out. My cousin Tanya.
A warm meal, like a feast, a meal. It was like a feast she had waiting for us.
And that house is like right there. I'm telling you right now, what happened? Rick bailed on us. I got to call him back. He was there. Hey buddy, we lost you. You're back. I'm telling you right now, and we got to share her Airbnb listing. She has an Airbnb, and she's a hippie chick. Tanya's so hippie. You know Tanya. Mm-hmm. She's totally hippie. And the way that she designed this house was so hippie and comfortable.
Well, it's a historical home. It's over 100 years old, the home.
And it's right downtown. I mean, it was minutes from my theater.
Petco Park, the theater, the Gas Lamp District. You're like right there.
It was... I mean, you know, and she's just, we got to share the link if she'll let us.
She was so sweet because she's like, I've blocked off the house for you the whole weekend, but it was one night we were in, we were out.
And she cooked for us, and her daughter, Luna Bird, super sweet. And I was happy to give Johnny a gift. And the gift was that his daughter, for the first time, got to see what he did for a living. She had never... Because he works comedy clubs. He's like, I'm not going to bring my daughter to a comedy club.
Yeah.
Here we are playing this beautiful, breathtaking.
Oh, the Balboa Theater is so cool. And it's over 100 years too, the Balboa Theater. I think they're celebrating 100 years right now.
Breathtaking. And his daughter's 12 and super cute. And she had never seen him do what he did. We have a sold out show in San Diego,
yeah,
right,
uh-huh,
for him. And then, you know, of course, we get escorted in the back, and his daughter's with us, and she was like, Mr. Steve has over a million social media followers on TikTok, and he has a blue check mark, and, you know, she's posting pictures, and it was just
so cute to see her, because I was standing on the side stage with her. I'd taken him up and took him back after. But I was standing on the side of the stage with her, and right away she busted out her camera and she was like filming her dad, you know? And then you called her out on stage with him so they could get a picture together.
Yeah, I got
a
picture
of
him on stage with a huge crowd behind him. Armpit air, enjoy. Huge crowd behind them. I was just happy to do that for John.
After she was like, Dad, that was so embarrassing. I didn't know you were going to call me on stage.
And it was so funny because I told her, I said, you know, I go, if you can deliver all B's on your report card, I'll buy you, I think she plays volleyball or something. I said, I'll buy you brand new shoes. And Johnny said that she's been so on it.
Yeah.
And he goes, it sucks. He goes, because as a parent, I bribe her.
Yeah, it doesn't. And she doesn't care. The same. Yeah.
He goes, but you bribe her. And all of a sudden she's like, Dad, I'm going to get those shoes. And yeah. Dad, Mr. Steve said, you know.
Yeah.
So it was really cool to be able to see that transpire and him get his deal. But man, it was literally a different city every night.
Yeah.
And then off to the airport. Thank God that we switched our plane to Orange County because it was way more comfortable there.
Well, and the kids, you know what? I was so grateful that the kids have both now gotten used to like traveling and what that process is. Because we left the day after the eclipse to go to California, and the airport was insane, like overwhelmingly insane.
I had never seen the airport like that.
If our kids
shoulder
had not,
to shoulder.
Yeah, I think they would have been scared. Like it was so many people and there were luggage everywhere and like you couldn't get through. It was intimidating. Did if you have never traveled before to arrive.
Tati,
and
everything
you
okay?
Back?
Are we losing sound? Are we all right? We're good. I was overwhelmed.
Yeah.
I'm at the airport every day and you're literally with your bag. Like if you were to walk through the Vegas Strip, fully packed. I mean, it was like, excuse me, like can't get, and other people, traffic jams, human traffic jam. Yeah. I mean, it was insane.
That's what it was. It was human traffic jams. Yeah.
It was insane. But I'm so proud of the kids. They're doing so well now traveling. Like, yeah, they're doing so good. And it's so cool to see them handle it. Like, you know, Delilah's like gone. She's like, later, I'm going first.
She wants to grab everything out of the tubs on the when it goes through the machine. And like, she wants to put all the tubs away. It's really cute.
But I mean, our kids have learned so much traveling with us.
Yeah.
And I just want to encourage parents out there. You know, I understand that you only have 2 weeks of vacation or whatever, right? I understand that.
Yeah.
But let me tell you how enjoyable some cities are that you might not think to go to.
Yeah.
Like Solvang.
Yes, it's so right? cute.
Like Boston, where they're actually, you're taking your kids not just to a water park or to Kalahari or Great Wolf Lodge or Schlitterbahn, or you're actually taking them to enjoy something and see some sights, and it's enjoyable.
Yeah.
I enjoy that way more than sitting on a beach. What are your kids learning by just sitting on a beach?
Yeah.
Right? What memory are they going to have?
Well, but that's what I love about San Diego is because there's like so much for kids. There are the amazing museums. Balboa Park has, I don't know how many different museums in it, you know, but you do still get the beach as well. Like, San Diego is awesome.
No, San Diego is great. But I'm just saying that those towns that you might think, I mean, we in Mississippi, we stopped at the Children's Museum there.
In Biloxi.
And it was like, oh, because a lot of these children's museums are designed around the area, the city, their history.
Uh-huh, yeah.
So we were learning, you know, Mississippi history, right?
Yeah.
What they learn going through security, you know, Garrett guides us through. Garrett's like, let's go to the lounge, you know.
Yeah. Make sure your water bottles are empty.
Yeah. Like Delilah's starting to learn, you know, too. So there was that week. And then Renee and I are really trying to get Delilah in order.
Yes.
She is, I will say that she has become wonderful. She has her moments.
Yeah.
Of, you know, throwing mini tiny fits.
Yeah.
They used to be huge fits.
Well, sometimes they're still huge. I don't know. Last night she threw herself on the floor. You're like, Delilah, get up.
Yeah, but that's my point is that it ends much quicker now than it did before.
Yeah, that's true.
You got to have perspective, right?
Yeah.
Her vocabulary has improved tremendously. She's a very independent little girl. We're still not there on the potty training.
Yeah.
We're doing better.
The bribes only work for a little bit. Going back to Johnny and the sneakers, the bribes with her only work a little bit. She really needs motivation. And usually it's orange leaf. She wants Froyo. Like yesterday morning, she had several accidents and she thought she was going to Froyo because she peed in the potty once. And I'm like, no, girlfriend, you got to keep peeing in the potty if you want Froyo.
Well, we just go to Froyo because we want to go to Froyo, not because you get rewarded, because potty training is not a rewardable thing. Like, you're supposed to pee in the toilet,
right?
Like, no, you don't get rewarded because you chose not to pee in the toilet. But we're trying to, you know, Renee, because I was off this weekend on my own
and we didn't have a baseball tournament, we didn't have visitors coming to town, I just sort of started back at ground zero and let her run around naked.
And it's so weird to me because she really has this let me do it, I'm a big girl attitude.
Yeah,
that's her attitude. She's very, I don't need your help. I'm a big girl. I can do it.
Yeah.
You know, last night, I don't want to sleep on the bottom bed. I want to be on the top bed.
She's a trundle.
Yeah. She has a trundle, and we've been putting her on the bottom. Say, oh, no, this is for big girls. I'm going to sleep by myself in my bed. You know, so she has this really strong sense of, I'm going to do it myself.
Yeah.
That's what I don't understand.
Yeah.
You know, and I will say for her, like, you can tell it comes on fast.
Yeah.
Like, she'll be, like, talking to you and hanging out, and then all of a sudden she's like, it's like, now. You know what I mean? And she's like, oh.
That was a very good impersonation of her, Steve Trevino. Yeah.
She's mine. I think. Pretty sure. I would assume.
I would assume.
I mean, I am gone a lot. I mean, what does happen on the weekends? I don't know. I should put cameras. Find my phone.
We do have cameras.
So I don't know. We'll see. We're digging back into that.
Yeah.
Garrett, I think Garrett's going to turn into an 8-sport athlete. In one day, he'll do flips on the trampoline. He'll do golf. He'll shoot baskets.
Yeah.
He'll ride his bike. He'll ride his Polaris. He'll play ping pong. He'll practice baseball. And it's like, dude. Oh, he'll kick the soccer ball.
Uh-huh.
He'll throw the football all in one day. And it's like, dude, what are we doing? What are we? Oh, Dad, you should see me crushing golf balls, Dad. You got to take me crushing golf balls, Dad.
Yeah, I mean, that kid, lately he's been really into golf. He must be watching YouTube videos about golf, I think is what it is.
Golf and basketball.
Yeah.
He's really good. We put the basketball hoop up. He's all about it. I mean, that kid, I mean, what are we going to do today, dude? Air hockey? What triathlon are we going to do today?
Yeah.
But he's doing great. He's doing great in baseball. And,
you know what I'm curious about? It's been a month since Simple Man has been out. And is it different on the road? Like, are people talking about it on the road? Are they bringing it up? Does it feel different after having the special out a month?
Yes, it does feel different. More people before the Netflix special, I would get people that were like, I hate to say this because it's terrible, that were starstruck. You know, I'd get a few that were like, you could tell that they're like, oh my God, I'm meeting this guy.
Yeah. Right?
That has become more often. There's more of it.
Gotcha.
You know, there's more of, oh my God, you know, and I see it on their face.
Yeah.
Right. I see it on their face and it makes me uncomfortable because you see this sense of like, oh my God, like,
yeah,
you know, I'm meeting him, you know? So that happens more so now, right?
Yeah.
And a lot of new fans. I mean, this is the first time that I would always get new fans, but now it's like, that's more, right? Where I would, every time I'd come to a market, hey, just found you, you know, wow, you had a great show.
Yeah.
You made a fan out of me, you know.
Lots of new faces.
Lots of new that.
Yeah.
Right. And people taking ownership of, I introduced them to you. It was me.
Yeah.
I've known about you for a long time.
Yeah.
They now, you know, don't act like you're big fans. We are. They're not big fans. We are. They just started. We got them into it. You know, taking ownership.
Yeah.
And I will say that people do treat me a little different.
Yeah.
You know,
people who just like
in general.
Yeah.
You know, in general, people treat me better.
Yeah.
You know, we're able to get more.
Yeah.
You know, when Timmy calls the casino and says, hey, I'm bringing Steve Trevino to the casino. He's on Netflix. Oh yeah, sir. Right.
Yeah.
But I mean, it's funny because I'll walk on stage and I'll say, you know, thank you for watching my special. Please keep watching it. Please keep sharing it.
Uh-huh.
However, you will hear none of that material tonight. It is a definite split down the middle.
You know what? I was thinking that more and more because this last special has so many great, really heartfelt jokes in it. The truck bit, like the Sunday bit. I don't know. I just think there's so many great bits in it. And I can imagine people want to see them again.
Yeah. And the way I'm feeling, you know, is watching other comedians blow up.
Uh-huh.
You know, I am feeling like, I don't know. I don't know. Am I selling more tickets? I don't know. You know, but I guess you look at it from the outside looking in, but you look at other comics and you're like, well, they're selling out two of these.
Yeah.
And they were on Netflix, you know. So I'm still waiting for like the big jump. in ticket sales.
Right.
I'm not doing bigger venues than I did last year. So I'm waiting for kind of that bump, if you will. Really, I had a couple come up to me and they were like, we watched the podcast. We love you. Just so you know that that material is special ready. Like it was that good.
The show that they saw, yeah, your live show now.
Yep.
Oh.
They were like, just as good, if not better.
Wow. You know, yeah.
It's special ready. We've heard you talk about it on the podcast. Oh, it was great.
Oh, I
that makes
that.
Me feel good because I want to give that show.
Yeah.
Right. And then I was in the Celebrity Theater, which, oh my God, like George Carlin filmed and recorded Seven Dirty Words there.
Which is a Celebrity Theater? Where is that?
It's in Phoenix, downtown.
Oh, okay. Yes.
But George Carlin, one of his famous specials, Seven Dirty Words, he filmed there, right? Dave Chappelle filmed there. Nate Bargatze filmed there. Burt Kreischer filmed there.
Wow. I didn't realize Segura they all filmed at the filmed Celebrity there. Theater.
Yeah. But you're kind of, it's in the round.
Yeah.
And you're kind of, I was kind of nervous because I had never performed in the round.
It's different. You have to change your performance.
I completely understand why people film specials there. I think it'd be a technical nightmare for you and Rick, but we'll talk about it later. You're getting hit with laughter.
You say that and I'm like, oh, Rick, I think we're filming there next.
Well, no, you get hit from laughter at every angle. Behind you. They're all the way around you.
Yeah.
So when they laugh, I mean, you're feeling heavier.
I selfishly, as an audience, I want to see the whole show. I don't ever want the back of you.
Well, so what I figured out performing in the round, what I figured out was when I would change characters, I would just do it huge and completely turn. So if I was performing here and then I did your character, I would go, okay, in my head, I'm doing Renee. Let me go ahead and completely turn over there. So, and then over here, and then over there.
Yeah.
And then if I was going to do an act out, you know, like I did the dads following the moms with the wagons, I just fully committed to walking to the other side.
Yeah.
So now I'm performing for them. Because I do like, you know, when we saw George Strait, I do like the way George's stage where he plays the corners. Have you seen George?
No.
Have you seen George? So what George does
in his Vegas show.
In his Vegas show, it's a square stage right in the middle, and he will go to each corner and play four songs. And then he would leave that corner, go to the next corner, and play four songs.
I did not like that experience. I felt like when he was at the other corners, I almost
lost interest.
Yeah, I lost interest and I started having side conversations, especially because someone like George is really just kind of standing there playing the guitar. He's not dynamic like you and engaging, you know?
You hear that, George? You hear that, George? You're not dynamic like me, buddy.
I didn't mean like that.
I'm engaging, George.
Oops. But you know what I mean? Like, you're like in the audience face.
I don't know what George you mean. I don't have 60 like, number ones. But
but George stands there and sings and plays. And so when he was doing that to the other corner and I had his back, and then he had a ton of musicians and instruments on the stage. That's like flooded on the stage. So I couldn't even necessarily have a good view of his butt or anything.
What you did was you then started looking at him on the big screen. That's what you would do. When he would go over there, you would now watch the show on the big screen.
Right? Yeah.
You know, look, we all know, it's no secret on this podcast that I'm a diehard George Strait fan. So I loved every minute of it.
I know you did.
I'll do it again. I absolutely loved it. And then we find out that Uncle Cracker is wearing Raoul Western wear.
Oh, that was so cool.
Isn't that cool? So I reached out and then he reached back and we had a conversation.
Didn't you say there's a picture of him wearing the same Wayaveta that you wore in Simple Man, the blue with the white?
No, he's not wearing that one. He's wearing the black one a lot.
Oh, okay.
But almost every picture that he's taken lately is him in Raoul Western wear.
Yeah.
And so I hit him up and he was like, well, you need to get these shirts in stock. He goes, I need this one, and this one, right?
Yeah.
But he invited us to go and meet him because he's on the road with Kenny Chesney at the moment.
Yeah.
So, and it was, I told Garrett, I was like, oh, the guy that sings Give Me the Beat, Boys, and Free My Soul.
Yeah,
I
go, yeah, that song.
You know, and then he's doing an interview on that I saw on his socials. He's doing an interview and he's wearing the Ralph shirt.
Yeah.
You know, so, and what I really like about that is, you know, we're very fortunate. We have, that happened twice. So we have, you know, Josh Abbott wears our shirts, but he's our friend. I know him personally. Randy, Roger Kreger, you know, there's these Texas country guys that, that wear our shirts, but there's a personal connection there,
mm-hmm.
right? They know I'm a part of Raul. You know, I've either handed them shirts or right. sent them, you know. So it makes me proud that they wear them. We had a guy from Bush, the band Bush.
Yes.
Reach out, and he wears them.
The bassist, right? Was it the bassist or guitarist?
And that was one of those, they found us.
Yeah.
Right? And then we ended up sending him a couple more once we connected. And then what I like about it is that Uncle Cracker found these on his own.
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't a direct connection. It wasn't. So it makes me feel good that, you know, and he was like, I need this side, this side, this side. And I called Poncho. I said, Uncle Cracker, let's go. He needs these sizes. And he goes, Steve, the success of the Netflix special, he goes, we're selling out of everything.
That's awesome.
So thank you all of you for supporting and buying those shirts. And
yeah.
They're very comfortable.
Yeah, lots of people sent me messages after your special. And that was a last minute decision for you to be in that shirt too. We had different shirts.
I was
going to
wear black,
you.
The black one.
Yes. And that shirt had just come out. I don't think it was even, it hadn't even been made yet. That was the sample.
That was
sample.
The sample.
Yes.
One of one. I'm going to put it up for auction.
That was the sample shirt that got here in time, and it was a game change decision. And we were like, I think with the lights and the stage, like that's the shirt. And it once we filmed it, like it was even, that shirt was perfect. That shirt was perfect.
It was awesome. And it's just so cool to see people loving and supporting. And our friends at Aztec Chevrolet, of course, we love them and support them. And please do me a favor and give them a chance. I got a Denali at the house right now. Brand new. If you want to buy it before it goes home back to, Aztec, but yeah. You know, those guys are amazing. Aztec Ford, Aztec Chevy, and Uvalde Chevrolet. Give them a chance. Old Salt Coffee. God, we love that coffee. I can't get enough of it.
I'm your
Tati, mama's... are you drinking it or you don't? It's so good, right?
I Trevino do it iced 10? In the afternoon now. Yep. Like what's left in the pot, I make it with the iced coffee and I like whip
I
up some
cold coffee.
Some milk. Oh,
I can't do
it's
cold
so
coffee.
Good. In Texas, it's so hot in the afternoon. An iced coffee, yes.
Summertime, I switch to Red Bulls because it's just too hot. But Raul Westernware, we already talked about them, and Pick Cherries, of course. But you know, this weekend,
we're gonna be in Florida soon. We got to reach out to Stu at Pick Cherries. Maybe we can see his face. We haven't seen him in a long time.
I did kill him at the casino in Tucson.
Really? Because all you left me was $40 on the nightstand.
Don't even start. Tati, did you see what she said to these people? Lying to these, I handed her the stack. I handed her the stack.
You showed me the stack, but the stack quickly disappeared, and I was left with $40 and some ones.
I don't want to talk numbers, but for those of you, I won that much. That's how much I won. All hundos.
Playing craps? Blackjack? What were you playing?
Blackjack? What was I playing?
Craps.
Craps. And then it was funny because
you don't have any good craps table stories. You usually always come back off the road.
I do. I was about to get into them. I was about to get into them. I knew I was going to win, and I tell you why. So you met her. What is her name? She represents Icon on the road.
Kate.
Sydney.
Sydney
was with us. She had never played craps before, and I'm like, she's like, what do I hear about this craps thing? I go, come play, right? Because I know anytime somebody new shows up to the table that's never done it before. We always win. Right?
Did Sydney know that's all it took? What do I know? What do you know about this craps thing?
I'm like,
thing?
Come with me, right? So she comes, and it's coming around for her to roll.
Uh-huh.
Oh, and by the way, shout out to, and I can't believe I can't remember their names. Oh, let me tell you this. Oh, you're going to love this. Let's take
this
a step
is
back.
What happens when we skip a week.
I know. So I was in Tucson.
Okay.
Right? Afterwards, and I recognize them. I recognize this couple because I've chatted with them before. They're friends. He always gives me a coin, you know.
Yeah.
He comes up to me and he goes, dude. So in Tucson, they have a policy that if you leave the theater, you can't come back. So this wife had a heel pump blowout on her shoe.
Oh, I've had that happen before.
So she was like, oh my God, like I cannot walk around without a shoe, right?
Uh-huh.
So he calls his daughter.
Yeah.
And he tells his daughter, bring your mom
a shoe.
Some shoes.
Yeah.
Right? Because I can't leave my wife without a shoe. So he starts to walk out. And by the way, they're law enforcement, class act, this guy. He's walking out and the guy goes, if you leave, you cannot come back in.
Right.
And he goes, buddy, I'm going to go get my wife some shoes. My daughter's going to drop them off. You're literally not going to let me back in. And he's like, sir, I'm warning you that if you leave, you are not allowed back in. So he's like, well, I'm not going to leave my wife hanging. So I'm going. So he went and he did not get back in the show.
I will ask all the cop, my daughter's at the front door. Can you go grab the shoe?
You know what he told her? You know what he told him? I don't work for you. And now here's what I will say about rules, right? Assess the situation, man, right? I know that rule is there for a reason. I get it.
Yeah.
But assess the situation. You've got a grown man who is law enforcement. Like, assess the situation.
I understand what you're saying.
However, he did not get upset because he goes, they did tell me, right?
But also, once someone sees someone go out, well, why did they get to go out and I don't get to go out? Then it turns into one of those things in a theater full of people.
You know, I mean, I get it, right? And look, I'm not mad at the theater. They gotta it's their policy for whatever reason. It is what it is.
Yeah.
The couple that I know and have known,
uh-huh.
they informed me of the story. Well, I also thought it was really funny. She stayed. She did not go with him. She left him outside. She's going to enjoy the show. I will say that there's no fucking way that that happens the other way around. If she does not get back in the show, he's leaving. But she was there. I'm having a great time. He's over there next to a tree. You know, waiting for his wife to come out.
Holding a pair of shoes, of women's shoes.
But I hate when I hear that. So I told the couple that I know, I said, hey, go get him.
Uh-huh.
Bring him backstage.
Because they were their friends?
They were their friends.
Oh, okay.
I go grab him, bring him backstage.
Uh-huh.
Right? Well, that couple, because of this podcast and because of my love for craps, his wife has now fallen in love with craps. He even bought her a bracelet that has little dice on it. They're the best. They're the best. So that she could wear it to the casino with her little dice bracelet.
That's hilarious.
So they did show up. But I told the guy, I ended up hanging out with this guy because poor guy. And then it was so funny because as we were hanging, probably hanging out backstage for like 20 minutes having drinks with him.
Uh-huh.
And it was so funny because I would go, you know, this part of my show. And he'd be like, I don't know. I don't know. So, poor guy. I will say that she did say, I have a wonderful husband and I love him. And I was like, God, at least he gets that. And then, but I told him, I go, look, man, I feel absolutely terrible.
Yeah.
That happened to you. If you come to Phoenix, tickets on me. That way you get to watch the show.
Oh, because Tucson and Phoenix aren't that far from each other.
So they came.
Yeah.
Yeah, he got to see the whole show. So I just, you know, I hate when I hear that. Somebody don't lie to me and tell me that that happened to you so you can be backstage. Please don't. But that's what I figured. I go, man, I opened up the floodgates. I just wanted to give him some time, you know, because I thought that was a classy move of him as a husband to do that for his wife and let her enjoy the show because there's no way that it would have happened the other way around. There's no way. There's no chance in hell. There's no chance in hell that some woman's like, enjoy.
I'll be waiting in the car.
Oh, yeah. There's not happening. Not happening. But that was really cool.
Yeah.
So they met us to play craps. Sydney comes and it's her turn.
Yeah.
Oh, and the limo driver, Oscar.
Uh-huh.
He was right next to me.
The limo driver came in and played craps too?
So I tipped him in chips. I go, you have to play. I get tips, right? Chips. Sydney gets there with $30.
Uh-huh.
And walked out there. I walked out with $750.
Wow.
And I, dude, I'm killing it. It's late. I need to go to bed, but she's still rolling. All we need is the.
So you had to stay.
No, all we needed was the 12 to hit them all.
Uh huh.
And when you hit them all, it's 150 to 1, 30 to 1, 30 to 1. Right? And I had $10 on the 30 to 1. They would not allow me to do more than 10 in the middle, which was the 150 to 1. And then I had $10 on the 30 to 1. And all she needed was a 12.
Yeah.
Then I throw a quarter, 25 bucks, on the 12 straight up. That's 30 to 1. I was like, Sydney, hit me a 12. I'm going to lose my shit. She freaking hit it. And she's like, the best part, she's like, what happened? What happened? What happened? I'm like, yeah, like everybody's losing it. And then I called it. So then the dealers are losing it because I called it, right? And everybody's losing. She's like, what happened? What did I do? I go, you made me enough money to go to bed. I'm going to bed. So she had a blast.
So did she call it too, or she stayed and played?
She stayed and played. And then, and I don't want to turn this fan off because she is a fan, and I probably shouldn't even talk about her.
But here you go.
But there was a drunk fan, right? Where's Captain Evil? She wants you in bed. She was just sitting by a slot machine, drunk.
Waiting.
Heckling me.
Actually, she was texting me. She wasn't that drunk because she was texting me highlights throughout the night.
She told me, she's like, kidding. I'm gonna tell Renee that you're here at the, you should be in bed. And I'm like, bitch, you should be in bed.
I love it so
just
much.
Just heckling me.
Thank you from the chair. Thank you, whoever you are. You can always heckle my husband at a crab's table.
Look, obviously they film specials at Celebrity Theater, but my last question before we wrap up, Rick, do you think that is a technical nightmare?
Yes, I also hate watching them, those kind of specials.
Because the angles are bad, right?
The angles are bad, but you also have no reference to where you are on the stage because it's all a circle.
Yeah.
What I liked about when you're looking straight on, especially with your last special, when you walk or move or sit, like you have reference to where you are.
It creates a world.
Right.
And then when it's in the round, those specials, it's just so much black. Like they light, so much money on lighting trying to light it all.
Because I saw a picture of Tom's and I think they just did like little hanging light bulbs or something. I don't know, you know. But the laughter and the way that it feels on that stage is fantastic.
That I'm sure. It's
and
like
the stage, if you want
laughter.
It to, if you want the stage to move, it will. It moves slowly.
Oh, that feels like it would be disorienting.
Very slow. But we
yeah.
You know, Johnny, my everything phobia guy. Yeah. Hey, dude, is it going to be moving, dude? I don't know if I can do it. I'm going to get sick. I have motion sickness, bro. Is it moving? To find out if it's going to move. Can they stop it for me? I'm like, so we get there and they go, oh no, for comedy, it doesn't move because you guys move and there's nothing else on stage, right?
Yeah.
But it was so funny. I don't know, John. Dude, I'm going to get sick, you know. But with that being said, we love you guys. It feels great to be back.
Yeah.
You look beautiful as ever.
Thank you.
You want to go to lunch?
Yeah, I do.
Let's go to lunch. Yeah, I'm hungry. We love you guys again. Thank you for the continued love and support. And I hate to do this to you, but
I have to just say quick, because I know people have been asking for a Daddy Raymond update. And this is the first time you always give them. You always give the updates. And part of it is because I've just kind of been bracing myself. But we got wonderful, fabulous news. Dad had another doctor's visit, PET scan, MRI, show no cancer. And every time he goes back to MD Anderson, his blood work just keeps getting better and better. So this one feels
Thank
like,
you,
for
Jesus.
Me at least, I can breathe a little easier. I'm really, really happy. Thank you for all the prayers, because I know he got so many.
And we'll tell you more about it. But Renee and I have been invited to Boots on the Beach in Cabo. So you will get to party with Renee and I if you book a room at this Boots on the Beach. I know that our week, Randy Rogers, Josh Abbott, I mean, there's going to be a lot of bands there.
It's the summer.
Just look up Boots on the Beach, Cabo. Casey Donahue is the host of it all, and it's just going to be awesome. I'm going to host. I'm going to get the party started. We're going to talk about possibly doing a podcast in Cabo.
Oh, cool.
But we're excited about it. And I mean, here's an opportunity to literally vacation with us.
Yeah.
So we'll give you more details.
I want a podcast in Cabo. That sounds cool.
Isn't that cool? Isn't that a great idea?
I'm up for that. Yeah.
Lori's like, well, I guess somebody has to bring the equipment.
I'm looking at dates.
But we love you guys. Thank you so much. We'll see you next time.